The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, and welcome to my brother, me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, George Lopez.
I'm your middlest brother, Phil Lamar.
I'm your baby brother. Unfortunately, I am Ernie Hudson. Hey, do you guys want to hear about my Pokemon card strategy? Do you want to rap about it? It's based mostly on powerful evolutions and power stacking.
As you can certainly tell, we have been swept up in Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3 Viva La Fiesta.
Biba La Fiesta.
Let me tell you, because I do speak about 6 years of educational Spanish. That means live the party, which is now my new life's motto.
Live the party. Now, this film is directed by Lev Spiro, who I'm looking at his IMDb. You know him from other films. He has directed, like, Modern Family.
Oh, but I like that TV show. The kids are, they're sagacious. They okay. Talk like kids don't talk.
Let me hit you with this. Wizards of Waverly Place, the movie.
Okay.
You might also know him from Super Ninjas.
Of course.
S-U-P-A-H Ninjas. Super Ninjas. That is also another.
Now, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the IMDb page, and under the trivia, the did you know, the only thing listed is that there's a connection to Beverly Hills Chihuahua 1.
I should fucking hope. Yeah, I don't know. They tried to reboot the whole franchise.
Yeah, it's like a separate but parallel Chihuahua-verse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what connection there isn't, though? And that is French Stewart. I think that French Stewart listened to the episode of the podcast where we inexplicably savaged him. He just popped on Man in the Mirror, and then he said, no more. No, this far, no further.
Griffin, I like that you're living in such a utopian society in which you believe that that is what happened, because my fear, my worry, is that what happened was all the executive producers of Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3 got together, and somebody said, oh, what about French Stewart? And they all kind of like, no one would make eye contact with each other. And they were just like, we don't want him back.
That's even worse.
Oh, can we go one episode without beating up on French?
I think he's reinventing himself. Or alternatively, they said, let's put him in 3. And then some producer was like, no. You got to have a long lead ideas when you're dreaming up the BH franchise. And just imagine
room to go narratively.
BH3, it's going to be strong enough to stand on its own legs sans French Stewart. We got Ernie Hudson's in the mix. We have Emily Osment. We have Kyle Gass. That's no good. But it's going to be
that's bumming me out. Tom Kenny is there by law, as dictated by law. Tom, mm-hmm. There is voiceover work to be done.
In all of it.
Yeah, I'm saying
every single movie with voiceovers is in the contract that Tom Kenny, he can just sit by and like drink coffee and watch other people do voiceovers.
Exactly.
But he has to be there.
I'm saying it's strong enough. Don't push the river. Don't shoot the cannon indoors. Let's save French Stewart for the quattro, you know,
bring it back. He's got to come back. So it's like a big turn.
Yeah.
You thought he was dead at the end of 2 when he fell in front of that steamroller, but no. He is back.
He's back in the quattro.
Back as flat puppy.
This time the Chihuahuas are going to France, and it's going to be fun because that's it's part of his name. We'll see you in the Quattro, French.
Don't you think French Stewart would be good? Speaking of being run over by steamroller, don't you think French Stewart would be good if they remade Who Framed Roger Rabbit as the bad guy, Dr. Sludge or whatever?
I think so.
Yes, of course he would.
I mean, then we gotta replace Bob. What's the detective? Bob Fudgens. Who's that actor?
Yes, Bob Fudgens.
So Bob Fudgens is Ernie Valiant. He's got to be replaced by...
Wasn't it Bob Hoskins?
Also Fred Stewart.
Sorry, Griffin, what is the name?
Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins, not Bob Fudgens.
No. Nope.
I am sorry about that.
You were close.
But Bob Fudgens is evil Bob Hoskins.
Mm-hmm.
So we get French Stewart as Dr. Bad or Dr. Mean, I forget. Mm-hmm. And then as the rabbit, that's going to be CG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Tom Kenny will legally have to do his voice.
It'll be that guy who did Gollum. What's his face? What's his name?
Yeah, they're going to mocap. They're going to mocap Andy Serkis to play Roger.
Now that's a funny connection because Peter Jackson is doing the Quattro. So I'm afraid Stewart, when we catch French in the Quattro, he is going to be in the mix for like 10 years that he cannot be shooting anything else. They are really tying him up with the Quattro.
Yeah. But hopefully he'll be able to make time for the shooting schedule of Who Framed Roger Rabbit again.
Of the movie? Who Framed Roger Rabbit again? Lay off.
Who's still framing Roger Rabbit? Featuring the voices of John Travolta and Roseanne Barr as the babies. all right, time to get to the advice. I'm currently getting ready to ask my girlfriend of 4 years to marry me, but a bit of an issue has come up. While talking to her recently, she mentioned that her parents were a bit concerned that I had not yet talked to them concerning my proposal. She threw me for a loop. Is talking to her parents, namely her father, who thinks I'm a screw-up, necessary in this day and age? Or is that tradition that went away in the 50s? That's from Confused in California.
No, it's still very much a thing.
Yeah, so I've only ever gotten engaged the one time, but my thought on this is whatever they think is a tradition is the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you should... Yeah... You should probably get a read on how traditional they are, which I think is gonna help you to light your way here. I don't think that this this gesture would ever be. I mean, I do understand there's inherent sexism in the gesture, but I don't think that it's necessarily going to offend anyone doing it. I mean, I think you run a much greater risk of offending people by not doing it.
Oh, yeah, like Teresa's parents. I was talking with Teresa before I did it, and I was like, I want to talk to your parents first. And she was like, they don't care. Don't worry about it. And I was like, yeah, but I do. And it was still a very nice moment, even though, like, it's not like if I had proposed without asking, they would have been super offended or anything.
Can you guys tell me?
It was just a nice moment for us.
I want to hear your stories. I want to hear stories from Justin, and I want to hear stories from Travis about how this talk went. Because, Justin, I know yours was kind of a panic attack.
I'm not good at anything that happens in this whole procedure, and I asked my now mother-in-law if she and my father-in-law could meet me at their house on their lunch break.
Which I love.
And I'm like, come on back to the house, let's just like talk this through.
Because you start out by inconveniencing them.
That's I know, nice. This I like is like that. Full panic attack. Like and I ask them, I say, well, I'd like to, you know, they guessed, they knew the jig was up, and I am like,
they somehow put two and two together.
What if you just like got them some Subway subs, and they just called and you thought, I just thought this would be a nice thing for us to do together if we had Subway Sub Wednesdays.
Would you come back to the house on your lunch break, please? I want to point out all the messes you need to clean up.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm in the middle of asking, and they say yes, and then my now father-in-law says, I would like to ask that you would consider maybe holding off on getting married until after she had finished medical school, because I wouldn't want anything to get in the way of that. And I like, that was 3 years away, so I like slapped my hand down the table. I was like, listen.
Okay.
Back off.
I don't remember that part.
I said, back off.
I think it's getting fictitious.
And then I think tall father-in-law.
That's what I'm saying.
Father-in-law stood over you.
Yeah.
Even if your father-in-law was not a 9 foot tall, I would say Conan-esque figure, you would still probably not have the gumption, the vim to pull that maneuver off.
No, I just said like, I'll think I'll think about it. And then we just never brought it up again.
And then you got married 6 months later.
Yeah, it's got married 6 months later. That was my play there. That worked out pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Didn't send him an invitation to the wedding until the day before.
Yeah, he just didn't bring it up again. So I was like, well, I guess it's cool. I guess we're cool. Mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, you really did tie Sydney down while she was in med school.
Are you kidding me?
You burned all her books.
The crazy wouldn't let her go to class. The crazy thing about his assertion is that I would ever do anything to get in the way of me making that money.
I know.
I gotta get paid.
Anyway, Travis, was yours? Yours, I imagine, was much smoother.
Well, I mean, it was in the fact that, like, we took them out to dinner in Dayton, so, like, they didn't have to, like, drive down to Cincinnati or anything, but, like...
Can you drive down to Cincy on your lunch break?
My plan originally was, like, when Teresa, like, gets up from the table, you know, she goes use the bathroom or something, or, like, she goes away to, like, check on whatever, I'll do it, and I told Teresa that, and about 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in, she's like, well, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I stood up with her and, like, walked over and was like, I'm not going to do it till you come back. I can't do this without you there. She was like, oh, okay, cool. So I made her sit at the table while I asked her parents.
Push your courage to the sticking point, Travis.
Yeah, I didn't at all. I pussed out. I was so freaked out in that moment.
Travis, I would like to formally request that you start referring to me as King Nuggets. The king of having nuggets. That's the full title.
The thing is
let me just hear it once to kind of try it on for size.
So here's the thing, King Nuggets. her dad is like a hardcore like Air Force guy and has been like he's a lifer and he's a very he likes me. He's a nice guy, but he's a very quiet, reserved guy who usually answers in monosyllabic responses. And, like, the idea of carrying on a conversation about how I was going to marry be the first person to marry one of his daughters was, like, the most terrifying thing to do
Travis,
without Teresa there to translate.
My father-in-law is 9 feet tall, and his hair is made of fire, and he is always riding a horse.
My father-in-law could rebuild a car, like, blindfolded in a cave and knows more about being a man than I
guys,
will ever
know. Guys, there's learn. Only one way to settle this. We need to get your fathers-in-law to fight each other.
Listen, well, my father-in-law is recuperating from knee surgery, so he's going to
then it might just be fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think my future father-in-law will do very well, like, in the Hunger Games, like, setting up traps and knowledge of weapons and whatnot. But hand-to-hand, I think that Justin's father-in-law would win.
I think it is I personally think it is a nice gesture. Mm-hmm. And again, I do think you run more, especially if the dad already thinks you're kind of whack.
Yeah.
You are not going to do anything to assuage him of that. Like, it not doing it feels pretty excusey from where I'm sitting.
And if you have issues like it's sexist or, you know, I feel like it's outdated, then I mean, I think it's completely justified to make it an opportunity for you and your girlfriend to talk to both sets of parents, you know, have a time with her parents, sit down with your parents and say, hey, we're planning this, you know, this is going to be coming up because they're both going to be involved in the wedding. So sure. Both sets of parents.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. I think that that you could make a legitimate case for, you know, having both people present. If you felt it was a sexist gesture, I think it's nicer to do something though to show that you are looking for their approval,
like getting them some Subway subs on their lunch break.
Just pick them up some Subway subs on their
lunch
break,
or at the very least, like one of the cards with like 10 holes punched in it, so they can go pick out their own sub if they want to.
To show you that I am a viable financial supporter of your progeny, here's 7 out of 8 punched on this Quiznos card.
Where it goes next is completely up.
Don't worry about us or our kids. I'm already, I'm not looking for, I think mine, when I do have this talk, it's going to be very uncomfortable because I am going to request no visitation.
I see.
Just from the jump, from the get-go, legally.
You know that you're not, like, adopting her.
I just think, it gets confusing for her, you know? She's going to be like, which family am I a part of? And it's like, I just don't want her to ever question, you know?
Right. And you don't want to have to rely on shaking the no-no can for the rest of your years. You need to set boundaries from the beginning, right?
Now, the no-no can, that is a can full of beans that shakes and she gets scared of the sound?
Exactly. You could also do a spray bottle if, like, she gets up on the furniture.
This, but this is not sexist, by the way. I'm seeing a raccoon. I'm romantically entangled with a raccoon.
I was going to suggest an invisible fence also would be great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She listens to the show. She's not going to enjoy this part. Sorry. Sorry, baby.
Sorry.
I love you so much. Let's do a Yahoo.
Sorry. Cluck.
Oh, man. She's actually sitting 20 feet away. I'm so sorry.
She's just gnawing on his furniture to punish him. I'm going to eat this pillow.
Let's do a Yahoo answer. This one's good. This one was sent in by Lizzie Cross. Thanks, Lizzie. It's by Yahoo Answers user Black Sunday Mold. Ew. Who asks... his avatar is poop in a toilet. I do not want to look at that anymore. How to make 11/11 wish not come true. So last time during 11/11, I made a wish to see my sister. I'm studying overseas soon. When I wish for 11/11, I usually repeat the wish out loud until 11/11 is done. So for a minute, I kept saying I wish to see my sister soon. But out of nowhere, in the middle of my wishing, I suddenly said, I wish I was Latin American.
What?
Okay, obviously I don't want to be Latin American.
By the parameters.
Okay, I obviously don't want to be Latin American. I think my Filipino and Chinese mix is all right with me. I'm not being racist or anything. Would the Latin American wish come true also after that accidentally slipped out? I still kept on saying I wish to see my sister. Please help. Would the Latin American wish come true?
I wish to see my sister. I wish to see my sister. I wish I was Latin American. What the fuck?
Why did... What a Freudian...
I think that this dude needs to open up to the fact that he does, in fact, wish he was Latin American.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he does... There's something in you that needs to just let that carefree spirit out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Feel the rhythm of the night.
Feel the rhythm in your bones. It's in you.
Is there another, like... If you make a wish at 2:22, it never, ever, ever will ever come true. That's another one that people don't really know much about.
That's a rhyming couplet, actually, yeah. Which I like. I think that whichever one you wished more, I'm not sure about the technical, but I think whichever one you wished more is the one that legally has to come true.
I don't think so. I think you can get a fraction of it. You know, you might get you might get like 66.6. repeating percent, I want to see my sister. But I think when you wake up the next morning, you are going to be 1/3 Latin American.
Well, right. See, but so I think the thing with that is it's like it's a numbers game where if you say you want to see your sister, I don't know, like 26 times, and you say you want to be Latin American once, then like, maybe there's just... a 1 in 27 chance.
Okay, or if we go
a lottery,
if we go with the fractional rule. I didn't even consider the horrifying possibility that you do wake up 1/27th Latin American, and then your sister shows up, and maybe she's missing a hand. Maybe she forgot who you are, or maybe.
And then you have to go find Doc Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
The DeLorean.
What is 1/27th Latin American look like? Does that just mean you can pull off white dress shoes? Is that the only the only chain?
I want you guys to know that I'm sitting here dealing with the horrifying reality that I don't know a single thing to say here that isn't just incredibly racist.
Yeah,
that's true. Great, Trav.
Well, that's because we are sitting here.
But I've accepted it. I've learned it.
Well, now you've got a nice blend because you've admitted that you're racist without just saying anything funny.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which is good because it's sort of like the worst of both.
I think the only problem is we're all sitting here trying to think of something funny that applies to every Latin American person. And I think that is actually the dictionary definition of what racism is.
So you're saying we need to make it broader and be like, you know, he's 1/27th Latin American, so he really enjoys... America's Next Top Model.
Or I think we explore options that don't make a lick of goddamn sense at all.
Okay.
Which is still racism.
You just say literally the first goddamn thing that comes into your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
Like they maybe they all really like going to the opera. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that about
Everybody knows that.
Like they're ambivalent towards pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't bring that pancake passer around here. Mm-hmm. I offer him pancakes. He passes them right back to me. He says, I don't know. Pancakes. I don't know right now about pancakes.
Closer.
Closer.
I'm a Latin American Canadian, eh?
They took all the jobs from Australia, though.
Okay, yeah,
and
right.
And gave them to Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And then just kept passing them around.
Yeah.
What if they are taking our jobs, but then they're giving
they're, hi- they're like they're the Robin Hood of jobs.
Mm-hmm. They're hiding them in places we'll never find them. You know, that I heard Latin Americans buried like 10,000 jobs mm-hmm. in a landfill in New Mexico somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you have to go find them. And if you're the guy who finds them, then you get them all. Which is going to really take a chunk out of your free time.
We never see Mark anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got he's holding 10, down 10,000 jobs.
He found him in a Latin American landfill.
Every he's stump really speech.
Rich, but he is so tired.
Every political stump speech ever. Some people are trying to work 10,000 jobs just to make a... to make a living. They found him in a secret Latin American landfill. What are we fucking talking about anymore?
The secret America. That's why you. That's why Americans are working longer at hours in their jobs, statistically speaking, because they're afraid to turn their backs on them. Latin Americans will come and sweep them away mm-hmm. and hide them in a like a burrow or something.
They don't see my desk.
Yeah.
Hey, where's my desk? Well, don't look up in that tree. I didn't hide it up there. God damn it, Manny.
Oh, shit.
Manny's the fat baby on Chuckle Family. What's that fucking shit called?
Yeah, Chuckle Family.
Family Matters.
I don't think it's Family Matters.
Modern Warfare?
Tell me. Okay, I got another question.
Okay. Sorry if anything we said offended you, by the way.
I can't.
Let's lay down that blanket. But if it did, I don't.
It didn't make any sense. My worry is that we, like, stumbled on a really bad one.
We fucking love pancakes.
Yeah.
They know about that. I hate these gringos. See, look. using the terminology.
There's going to be some judicious editing on that portion.
Golly.
So sorry.
It will take hours. Hours of deliberation and Googling.
Those listening at home may have just heard like 10 to 13 minutes of silence. Straight silence.
I just hope you cut out Justin's whole La Cucaracha rant.
That's where it got pretty bad.
Oh, man.
So. great lost bit. Great classic lost bit. We'll launch it into space and maybe somebody will find it. Some Martian civilization. Hey. So, I've started dating this guy who seems pretty cool, but I'm converting to Catholicism, which means that premarital sex has to go. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be happy about it if he knew. So, how long is it going to take him to either leave me or cheat on me? Or is this something you guys are really willing to put up with if they like you? That's from Gmail.
To be fair, it says that guys, not us guys.
Okay, that guys are really willing to put up with if they like you.
Yeah. Oof. I don't think you can lay down that blanket statement, because there's got to be guys who honor the true love waits.
Of course there are.
Yeah, for certain.
Yeah. But I don't know your dude. You didn't give us any deets on your dude.
Yeah, without any sort of deets on your dude, it's going to be hard for us to delineate. I think the important thing here is going to be honesty and forthrightness, that you, mm-hmm. you know, lay it out for him, you know, the as honestly and directly as you can. I would caution you, however, and point out that just because you're converting to Catholicism, people fuck up on their religions, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's kind of the whole bit, is, like, messing up. And then
messing up and coming back.
But we don't...
Messing up and coming back.
We shouldn't tell anybody to do something less than the best of their ability.
No. I'm not trying to give you a permission slip to
fail. You should be the best Catholic you can be.
Don't get me wrong. It will feel so dirty and good, because now it's forbidden.
Yeah. Yeah, forbidden fruit.
So it is going to feel, it's going to feel better. It's going to feel wetter. It's, but listen.
Rich.
Just listen. Mouth stuff.
You can go right now to extremerestraints.com, mm-hmm. use coupon code MIDDLESS, and you will find things there that I'm pretty sure do not qualify as intercourse, mm-hmm. but are going to take you on a journey.
They have special attachments.
ExtremeRestraints.com. Pope approved.
Yeah.
Most of them are post-sexual, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like, they go beyond our traditional ideas of intercourse.
I gotta say, there's a whole section in there about knee pits, about the back of your knee, and, like, things you can do with it that I had absolutely... It is a secret cave of pleasure, that you, and you got two of them.
Yeah.
So...
I don't think you should set out to fail. I'm basically kidding about that. I do think you should be honest with the guy, and I don't think and again this is just I don't think anybody would say, well, that's not going to work for me. I mean, you're cool and all, but I
to amend the statement, I think it should be true love will wait if that's what you want.
He's not going to say flat out, nope. He's going to say, nope. Okay, that's fine. And then y'all are going to be making out later that same afternoon. And it's going to be like, hey, I'm just going to stick it in. And then you're going to be like, no, I said it.
Jerry? I said no.
Well, nobody is dating anyone named Jerry. But
oh, that's fair.
That's how it's going to play out. They're going to, when the lust wave, when you're swimming in the ocean of lust,
And remember, you've just heightened this.
Because mm-hmm. you just said, forbidden. No, this can't happen because of Jeezy. Then you...
Because of young Jeezy.
He is going to combust. So you got to be vigilant when you do this stuff. I was just kidding about mouth stuff, by the way. That I, you know, it's up to you.
If it's something you're serious about and, like, this is important to you, then... If he doesn't respect that, if he's like, no, then maybe he's not that great of a dude.
Mm-hmm. I had a youth pastor once when I was in my youth, appropriately enough, and he said, people, you know, you kids ask me all the time, you know, how far is too far? You know, what can I still do? And I tell him, your Heavenly Father is watching all the time. So if you wouldn't do it with Jesus in the room, then don't do it. And I sat there thinking, that's a pretty fucking short list, man.
Yeah.
The list of things I would do if Jesus was in the room.
I wouldn't chew with my mouth open if Jesus was in the room.
Yeah, I do not. How come Griffin died? Oh, he stopped pooping. He stopped pooping and he died from it.
I wouldn't put my elbows on the table. I'm going to talk about Frenching? Like, no way. Excuse me.
Hey, young Jeezy. Is this cool? Hey, J-Man.
I sang at the top of my lungs in my car. Am I going to hell now?
Yeah.
Jesus is watching and judging you the whole time.
I mean, I know I was off key, but...
Sorry, bro. Hey, you know, if this guy turns out to be much more of a dipshit than we gave him credit for... maybe you'll meet some nice people in your new church mm-hmm. that would share your values. Mm-hmm. And that might be a better fit. I don't know. I don't know this guy. Again, we're flying kind of blind here.
Well, and not to get too preachy, but there is this one concept that I remember from my youth, and it was that idea of being unequally yoked. And I think that goes both ways, you know, that always be with people that raise you up to the standards you want to be raised up to, no matter what that is, no matter what standards you're holding yourself to. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that goes to the same of, like, people that write in and they're like, my boyfriend's so lazy. He doesn't have a job, just sits on the couch all day. Like, mm-hmm. that's bad. That's bad. He's bringing you down. Yeah. He's a bad influence on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean.
But that raises the question, what is my wife doing with me? Like, I don't understand.
Well, after a hard day of her, like, being an adult and being responsible and taking care of things, nice to just come home and kick back with you.
She just thought...
kick back with old low-press Jay. Thanks, Scraps. That really fucking...
Well, I mean, she comes home and she's got no one to impress, you know?
She hasn't sat down all day. She wants the human equivalent of a sumo chair. Somebody who she wants to put on her sweatpants.
Yeah, now, you're like a papazon in that respect.
Now, Travis, who is it that she doesn't have to impress?
It's you.
No, and who is that again?
That would be you, King Nugget.
Thank you. It's King Nuggets.
Yeah,
Nugget is King Nugget.
Nugget is adorable.
Or it sounds like his honorable and most venerable Nugs.
King
Lord
Nugget.
High Nugs of Nuggington.
King Nugget sounds like who Mayor McCheese had to overthrow to instill democracy in McDonaldland.
My liege, there's been an uprising. The fry kids are revolting.
Upturn the vats of honey mustard.
Take my child McRib and get him out of here. Whisk him to safety. Return Steve only when there is calm.
And even then, momentarily.
Bring me the head of Grimace.
No, my lord, we don't know where the head starts. It just kind of slopes. We're having a hard time figuring this
just
out.
Just find a thick part of the gradient.
Someone bring me Lord Highchester McPizza. He's been gone from our kingdom.
Advisor Fajita, you've served me well these many years, but now I must send you away to Taco Bell safety.
My liege, here comes Kid Vid, the Kingslayer. He's riding wheels like a beautiful chariot.
The kids' club always pays their debts.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, the kids' club does always pay their debts. It is accurate.
You know, speaking of debts, we have our own.
Speaking
to
of
pay.
Debts, we gotta go to the money side. Griff, who is this message for?
This particular message is for Kira Thompson. It's from Lance and Georgia Lowe, who wish Kira Thompson a happy belated birthday to their MLS holding, Max Fun bumper sticker having, sauerbraten making, all around fantastic friend. Like Mabim Bam, Kira helps people resolve the pressing issues in their lives. As a librarian, that mostly involves directing homeless people to the bathrooms and helping children log onto computers so they can enjoy porn.
A noble calling, Kira.
The coolest person ever.
That sounds like a pretty cool gig.
Yeah.
Travis, what about our own message?
Wait, what is an MLS, you guys?
That's your master's in library sciences.
Yep.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
Fuck, that might be right.
Isn't that terrifying?
Travis, who's the other message for?
Oh, it's for Laura Yokoyama, and it's from Jonah Yokoyama.
Man, those are good names.
And didn't I do a great job pronouncing them?
Good job, Jeff.
Well, the thing is like I've met Lori and Jonah. They came to see me in Complete Works, and Lori made some of the most amazing cupcakes I've ever had in my entire life.
I had cookies once. Are they the people who brought cookies to the Cincinnati?
Hey, sweetie, good job.
Have you guys heard of cookies? Fuck, they're good.
They're like flat cupcakes.
They're real yummy. They're like crackers, but like sugar crackers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So Jenna says, happy 120, Lori, maker of literally the most awesome cupcakes Travis McElroy has ever eaten. Confirmed. Happy anniversary, 8 years, and I love you more all the time. Thanks for being so supremely awesome and wonderful. I'm lucky to have you in my life. And then Jonah has informed us here to make a fart sound. So,
there.
I'm not going to. There's no way.
Eager to please.
There is absolutely no way.
Happy to be here.
That I'm ever going to. I did it with my knee pit.
Those views are better than Beverly Hills 2-3. Oh,
they probably quite literally are. I also want to talk to you guys. We mentioned them earlier, but ExtremeRestraints.com is a site where you can buy all your adult toys for adults only. We have this coupon code, MIDLIST, and it does two things for you. One, it saves you 20% on all your adult purchases, which is rad. But more importantly, it puts your purchase on a big list of purchases by MBMBA MFIBS.
An anonymous list, we should point out.
An anonymous list. We have no names or anything. Just lists of things people have bought that, wow, some of you guys, you dug
You're
deep.
Getting it.
You are getting it. We got a beaded silk rope, the Climax Gems vibrator, and a Scarlet Overload beaded anal plug. That's one order. I mean, that's...
What do you think the super head honcho is?
I don't know, but lots of people seem to be getting into that right now.
What about Sammy's Fist anal plug?
Pretty cool, pretty cool. Butterfly lace tanga panty. That sounds nice. That sounds like a nice place to start.
How about latex briefs with a penis sleeve? That's good because sometimes my penis gets so cold.
Yeah, just for those warm, you know, winter is coming.
Winter is coming. Put your dick in this sleeve.
Now, I know, I think I have a basic idea of what this thing is, but the name makes it sound real fun. The double balloon enema nozzle.
Yay!
Yay! When one Yay. Balloon one balloon of fluid just will not do.
Yep. This is very great. This is great. Trinity Contempo Rabbit Vibrator. Mm-hmm. And four AAA alkaline batteries. So, hey, it's your one-stop shop.
Is this person preparing to orgasm through the apocalypse?
Case of water.
Somebody bought a 3-in-1 sun-touched candle. Oh. Which I assume they just lit and then ram-jammed right up their butthole.
I don't know what you do with this. But anyway, that's extremerestraints.com. It's spelled just like it sounds.
And the coupon code is Midlist, MIDDLEST.
Save 20% at extremerestraints.com. Go check them out. They're a lot of fun. They like the show, and we like them.
We've done a lot of promotions for them.
They are our leading sponsor, which literally makes me so happy every time.
So they support us. Go support them. Even if you listen to these bits, you're like, oh, that's not for me. Go check it out, because it probably is for you.
There probably is something for you there. ExtremeShanks.com.
Hey, and when you do find something, make sure that you go back and write a product review of it. That'll make them real happy.
Yeah,
they'll like that.
How about a Yahoo answer?
I'm wanting one of those so bad.
This one was sent in by Seth Condon. Thanks, Seth. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Oh, it's just a colon. Okay, easy enough.
Yeah. Is it a picture of a colon? Because that sounds more like Yahoo Answers.
Colon.
I think that emoticon is like you got the eyes, but the mouth is sewn shut.
That's horrifying. They ask, what Pokemon should we name our baby after? Me and my husband are so excited for our new baby. We really love the first 151 Pokemon and are planning to name him after a Pokemon. We have some preliminary names picked out, but are having a tough time deciding. What do you guys think of these names? And then they list some Pokemon names, including Psyduck and Caterpie and Raichu.
Is Ghastly in there?
Ekans.
Ghastly.
Ghastly.
Ghastly is not among them. I appreciate these people's attempt to keep it OG by not introducing the other ones, because I feel like they really lost their shit for the naming conventions for, 152 on.
Yeah, so we're keeping a Ridge.
We're keeping Gen 1, Red, Blue, or Leaf, Green, Fire, Red.
Okay, so my vote goes to Slowbro.
Okay. Is there any particular reason? Because I feel like you're setting that kid up to fucking fail.
Oh, I thought we were already planning on that. I thought that was already assumed.
Oh, I see. You're leading into it.
Yeah, I'm just going with it.
Okay.
I think my choice would have to be for Stunky. Stunky the Pokemon.
Is Stunky a Pokemon?
Yeah. And it looks exactly like it sounds.
So actually, okay, I'm gonna pick a real one
because I don't want to, Justin. I don't want to sell. I do not want to put you on blast, but that is definitely not in the original Pokedex.
Okay, I'm sorry. How about I go with I'll go with one from the original 151, and go with Spinarak. That'll be good. Yeah, that's good. Spinarak
is from the
because your child's gonna be an evil mage.
So Griffin is Spinarak.
Of course not. Right?
Sorry, why?
Because it's in the second. It's in the gold, silver, crystal generation. Justin, you know this. Obviously, you know this.
What about Mewtwo?
I feel like you're just doing this to piss me off now.
Oh, geek check. Okay, I'm gonna have to go with. Can I use Japanese names?
I think you have to.
Okay, then I'm gonna go with Nidoqueen.
Okay, that's not a Japanese name. That's a real.
Sorry, Griffin. What?
That's what it was called.
Okay.
You make me so fucking angry. All I want out of you is a straight answer.
Fushigibana.
Okay.
Fushigibana is Venusaur in Japan.
I like that way, way better. I'm going to go with Mr. Mime. Because it's good. You are saying a lot about that kid. right from the jump. Hey, by the way, there are, I'm going to say, I didn't count them, but I'll say about 25 answers to this, and all of them are composed of Pokemon names, and not please for not doing this thing, that not doing this terrible, terrible thing to a human being.
Not cries for mercy, mm-hmm. please to the governor to spare this child.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, but this is what blows my mind whenever we stumble upon the Yahoos that are like, you know, I want to name my kid after Harry Potter people. Like, there are real ass regular normal names somewhere in the Poke, you know, verse.
Yeah, sure, like Charizard.
No, name your kid. I'm saying name your kid fucking Ash.
Yeah.
Name him Brock. Name her Misty. Like, don't, why would you pick, why would you say, like, no, those are real bullshit names. I'm going with Pikachu. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you.
Everybody wants to be the person that does the thing that no one else has done before. Right. And I think that you have, I think if you name your kid, you know, Ponyta, I think you're probably in the clear as far as that is concerned.
Let's be honest, though. I mean, our worry is that you know, this kid will become a social outcast because he's named after a goddamn Pokemon. But consider this kid's parents.
Yeah.
The die is cast. I mean, I don't think that this guy's going to be the head of the lacrosse team.
No, and he's going to feel there's going to be a lot of psychological issues, you know, vis-a-vis having 150 siblings.
Yeah, because they got to pop them all out, yeah. Right? They got to birth them all.
Got to birth them all.
I got to say, though, I did just picture, like, the idea of this child growing up to just be an incredibly, like, successful lawyer.
I think you mean evolving into an incredibly evolving
into a
lawyer.
Successful lawyer, and someone just be like, now, Geodude Johnson, attorney at law. Are there criminals out there affecting you? Don't worry, I'll catch them all.
Professional football player Charizard Jones. Oh, I got Charizard Jones on my fantasy rules. Team.
That would be great, actually.
Yeah, that would actually be the best.
Oh.
Wigglytuff Peterson, I find you guilty of 4 counts of patricide. You killed your parents, resurrected them, and then killed them again. What a terrible crime. But who can blame you? You're off scot-free.
Oh,
vote for me, Machamp Smith.
President Machamp, what have you done? You have run our country into the ground.
Are you really better off than you were 4 years ago when President Pidgetto was elected?
Can we have a new weekly segment on the show called Justin Tries to Pronounce Pokemon Names?
I did great. I should have gone with Butterfree.
Yeah.
That's my bad. Or, you know, I should have gone with Floffy? Is that how that's pronounced? Mm-hmm. Mareep? Mareep is a pretty good name. That would be a great pick for them.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. B. Drill Murphy, OBGYN.
Mm. Yeah, let me get up in there, much like a drill would do on a bee's hand. Can we move on?
Let's. I have a question here. Hey, brothers. I've been a tattoo artist for 7 years, and one of the hardest parts of my job is gently informing potential clients that getting their girlfriend or boyfriend's name tattooed on them is a terrible idea. Can you help me come up with some good ways to let them know they're being dumb? That's from Bringing the Pain in Maine.
I have an idea.
Okay.
You know when you go to a tattoo parlor, or for those of you that have never been to a tattoo parlor, they have books up front that is a catalog of the artist's work so that you can be like, oh, I really like this idea and I like this aesthetic. And there's always a section where it's cover-ups. What if you had a book that was just cover-ups where someone got a boyfriend or girlfriend's name tattooed and then got it covered up by something?
Yeah, have them go ahead and pick out which cover-up they
got. And make that part of the deal where, like, they got to sign a contract that says they'll come back to you.
It's like a tattoo prenup. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to prepay for your cover-up.
So you get, like, Jennifer tattooed on you with the option of, if it doesn't work out, you get it augmented to say, whatever happened to Jennifer Grey?
You get it augmented to Bennifer because you were just such a huge fan of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner.
Now, how do you cover up your Bennifer tattoo? That falls apart. Because I got that. I would like to know.
Well, no, in that scenario, you're covered because he went from Lopez to Garner. I'm saying as long as he keeps seeing Jennifer, as you are in the clear.
Can I gotta say, maybe there's a sort of different ethics that I'm not aware of in the tattooing biz, but I gotta say, man, just fucking do the tattoo. I mean, the only knowledge that you could be imparting to them is that it is permanent. And, like, if they are not aware of that, then...
You don't think that there's a certain amount of, like, inherent responsibility? Like, it's different from, like, going and getting a haircut because, you know, someone said, like, dye my hair and shave my basketball number into my face or something. And you're like, okay, cool. And then that will grow out and that'll go away. But if someone comes into you and says, I want this terrible idea for a tattoo...
I don't want to live in a tattoo nanny state.
But it's...
If I want to get a stupid tattoo, then I should be allowed to.
They have to practice... A regimen of stern non-malfeasance. They adhere to the Hippocratic Oath just like every other medical professional.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they can't, you know, get put like a race car with, you know, Miley Cyrus's face on it, on somebody's body, as a joke. Or maybe for serious.
Are you saying that they can't do that instead of what the person asked for? Or can you not just say, I don't think that's a good idea? Or is that like... Well, fuck you. Like,
I think they can turn people away, right?
I mean, I'm sure you can turn any... No one's ever, like, gotten a tattoo at gunpoint, I think.
No, but they can turn people away for being drunk. I think that this is along the same lines. You say,
you're love drunk. You're love drunk. Get out of here.
I'll make you a deal. If you still want this in a year, I'll do it for you. But then they're just going to go to the...
You blacklist them. You got to blacklist them.
Rusty Needles or whatever the bad tattoo parlor is, you know?
They're going to get an alleyway tattoo from a person who doesn't know what they're doing, and then they're serious. They don't give a shit about the Hippocratic Oath in the alley.
You could give them a tattoo of blood.
Oh, that's a good idea, Trav. I like that.
Get them a tattoo of what?
A blood tattoo.
Of blood.
I don't understand.
They hurt a lot more because there's no ink, but you can, by doing the, you know, you can get a tattoo... with no ink, and it'll just stitch your blood in there. It's not permanent. It will heal, but maybe see how that goes.
So are we just talking about cutting a thing into you, and then it's a scar?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, yes and no.
So last year, when I reached into the oven to get a pizza out, and I burned my forearm on the rack, that was just me getting a bitchin' blood tattoo.
That was a pizza brand.
Okay.
That's different. You got branded by your love of pizza. Oh, shit, guys. I just remember I got some pizza.
It's right across my wrist. It looks like I tried to shuffle myself off this mortal coil. And really, what happened was that I had a tombstone in there, and I just really couldn't wait to get at it. Is tombstone
pizza? You had to earn it.
I had a tombstone pizza from 1997 that I've been saving.
You know, every pizza has a story, but only Griffin's pizza has a legend.
You understand that Tombstone Pizza was a pizza company. This was not a promotional pizza for the movie Tombstone.
I feel like it was. Like, all the pepperonis shaped like Wyatt Earp.
Okay.
And like Doc Holliday cheese.
This has gotten out of control.
Usually how it shakes out. Hey, I recently found out two of my cousins started following me on Twitter. This wouldn't be an issue, except I'm 30 and they're 14 and 11. It's not like I'm shoveling hate and filth in my tweets, but I'm a grown-ass lady woman with a grown-ass lady woman thoughts and opinions. What should I do? Be uncool and block them, or censor myself in hopes I don't corrupt young minds? That's from Not Sure What to Do in Chicago.
This is great. This is... we all had to deal with this.
Yes.
I feel like Twitter is the truest form of who you are. That's not true. I say fuck a bunch on Twitter, and our fairly religious cousins listen or follow the tweets I say, and I can't help but feel you just got to stomach the disappointment every time you say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what is funny about that, Griffin? I had that problem too, but I recently checked in, and the situation had resolved itself.
What was... They stopped following you?
They stopped following you?
They did unfollow the kid. Yes.
that is really too bad.
I have been unfollowed. And I can't... I don't think I can follow a 15-year-old without it being mutual. I had to unfollow them reciprocally.
Yep,
reciprocally.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it in one.
Got it in one take. One take, J. They call me.
You know, I had this experience yesterday where I was at work and this 15-year-old said, "Hey, I really like your show." And me thinking it was one of the many plays that I have worked on, I said, "Oh, which one?" And she said, my brother and me." And my response was, "Oh."
Oh, fuck. Sorry. Sorry for saying fuck just then, too.
You should go.
You should. Can you leave? What you gotta do is find the balance that works for you so that you can sleep at night. For instance, I stopped saying the C word on Twitter.
That's good.
That was a good place to start. I do have a secret special other Twitter feed where I really just let it all hang out.
See, because every time Griffin censors a word, that word doesn't go away.
Oh no,
you got to put it somewhere. You get a backlog of words.
I can't keep carving them into my body. I gotta find a healthier venue for them. And
you mean giving yourself a tattoo of blood?
That's what you're doing. Yeah. My body is just covered in blood tattoos of the C word.
We didn't make that concept up. I want to make that clear.
No, it was in one of Penn and Teller's books.
Yeah, I think it was the travel book.
Yeah, it's also a Lou Reed song. So.
This Yahoo Answer is sent in by Nicole B. Thompson. Thanks, Nicole. It's by Yahoo Answers user Dina, who asks, "What's 50 Shades of Grey about?" A reading teacher's favorite book in my school is 50 Shades of Grey, and I heard it's like porn, but in words. Can someone tell me what happens in the book?
Yeah, I'll try to wrap it up for you. See, there's a rich businessman. Mm-hmm. His name's Christian Grey.
Have you read the book?
No.
Okay.
I meet a young lady named, let's say Darlene.
Okay.
Okay.
So Christian Grey is this rich businessman.
Darlene, I'm going to fuck you so good.
No, that's not what he says. He says, "Darlene, I'm going to spank you." And Darlene's like, "Oh, Christopher, please spank me."
No, I think she's like, "I don't know if it's going to feel good."
Yeah, at first she's like, you're right. At first she's like, "I don't know if I like to get spanked.
I don't know. I don't want my fanny to get reddened."
And then Christian's like,
"Is she a ghost?"
She is a ghost. In the book, she's a ghost. So Christian Grey's like, "Well, I'm sorry, Darlene, but I'm going to try spanking you anyway."
So Christian is melting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm trying to follow along here.
Yeah, keep up. Christian is melting. Darlene is a ghost. Okay. And he takes her over her knee and he said, "Get ready for the spank. Spank, spank."
Wait.
I'm confused.
The spankicutioner is coming into town. I was trying to think of something better than spankicutioner.
Christian Grey is the pallbearer.
Yes, so Christian Grey, who you may know better as Undertaker manager Paul Bearer, says, "Oh, yeah, it's time to spank you.
Uh-huh.
I got a hankering for spanking. I'm going to give it to you."
And he's also selling children's cereal.
"I'm going to give it to you so good." And Darlene's like, "I still don't know," but then thwack. Gives her the first.
His hand actually passes through her spectral form.
Yeah, and that gives him, he loves it. Gives him a bonus. Now, did he buy his writing crop on extremeexchange.com? You bet he did.
Okay.
Use the coupon code MEDALIST.
Cross promotion.
So he spanks her, and that's like the next 200 pages.
Uh huh.
Just the one. Or is it just one spank that just reverberates through her body, and then she describes it in much detail?
I felt my ectoplasm shudder through my body.
It was as though he were spanking my very soul.
As his melting Paul Bearer-esque hand slipped through my spectrum.
I felt myself begin to slimer.
And then I slimered, and there's 30 pages of that.
I slimered over and over again, and then Ernie Hudson showed up and sent me back.
Yeah.
And made me watch Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3 and said, "Watch this scene I'm in. It's real good.
You're going to love
Travis,
this scene."
You're in the second book now. You've moved on to the second.
Sorry.
Can we... I think that here's an opportunity for us. If we could somehow create what 50 Shades of Grey has done to books, by which I mean ruined them forever, I think we have a great chance to really seize the podcast market share here.
Yeah, if we could ruin podcasts, like, we haven't done that already.
Well, we could do, like,
I don't know how we could be more erotic than we're already being.
That's a good point. We could have a secret alternate podcast stream where we talk about just, like, sex stuff and, like, really, I guess that's this. Never mind. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically the 50 Shades of Grey, just people don't like it as much.
Maybe we need to do an alternate podcast where we don't do any of that, and it's appropriate for our cousins to listen to, and that will make this one seem more like Shades of Grey in comparison. Mm-hmm.
That's good. And we'll just call that one, like, green.
I have some hit lines for 50 Shades of Grey if you guys just want to try these on.
Okay.
We could try to put these in the podcast.
Oh, and see good. This is going to be...
I'd like to bite that lip, he whispers darkly. Jeez, I'm a quivering, moist mess, and he hasn't even touched me. I squirm in my seat, and I meet his dark glare.
Fuck. The muscles inside the deepest, darkest part of me clench in the most delicious fashion.
Where is it not dark in your body? There's no light in it. Okay. Go on, Travis.
Suck me, baby. His thumb presses on my tongue and my mouth closes around him, sucking wildly. Holy fuck, this is wrong, but holy hell is it erotic.
This is the dirtiest. We have done a podcast where we talked about eating celebrity poop and fucking fowls, and this is the grossest thing I've ever read.
I don't like that. Holy fuck is a standalone sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck, period. Do one more.
Oh my, I didn't think it would feel like this. Didn't know it could feel as good as this. My thoughts are scattering like ectoplasm. There's only sensation, only him, only me. On, please, I stiffen. Terrible. This is bad. This is bad.
Like, and I want to say that this is proof that he is melting, because the next one is Christian follows with two sharp thrusts, and he freezes, pouring himself into me as he finds his release.
Where'd you go? Ah, fuck.
My insides practically contort with potent, needy, liquid desire.
Oh, God. Guys, it's turning.
So she has diarrhea.
So she basically has diarrhea.
Guys, it's turning from being a goof to, like, being genuinely erotic. We need to be careful. We're walking on thin, thin, sexy ice.
I was at Books A Million last weekend, and I was checking out, and the woman in front of me is buying one book, and as the cashier is putting it in the bag, he says, "Yeah, a lot of people are reading that 50 Shades of Grey." Just like that. And I think this dude legit did not know what the book is.
Oh, or
like,
maybe he's just putting her on blast.
You think he's blown up her spot? I don't know. Yeah.
Although they are a shameless bunch, the fans of this book. I was sat on an airplane while a woman read it. Right next to me, she was reading it. She was reading about people just getting slam jammed and ram jammed, and she was thwibbing it right there.
She was just flicking her beans.
She was just thwibbing
her acorn for all to see.
Oh, ugh. Man.
50 Shades of Black. All right, well, nobody wants to listen to this podcast anymore. Mm-hmm. I say we
reveal our fucking PIN numbers and all of our internet passwords right now, and we would be A-okay.
Here's where I buried all the jobs. No one's going to find them because no one's listening. Not that anyone's listening, but this has been My Brother, Me. It's a comedy podcast we put out every Monday. If you're looking for something else to listen to on Mondays, I put out another show called Satellite Dish with my wife, Sydney. It's a podcast about TVs. You can find that on iTunes, and it comes out Mondays. It's part of what I'm calling the McElroy Fun Squad Monday.
And I infrequently produce a podcast called In Case of Emergency. So you should check that out. But more importantly, if you're in the Cincinnati area or really anywhere around us, coming up in October, I'm going to be in a steampunk version of William Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. So come down and check it out. It's going to be awesome.
Travis plays a robot.
You can follow me on... How about... I don't have a podcast or a show, but I'm on Twitter. It's Griffin McElroy on Twitter. And I'm so close to 10,000 followers. And I want to be... For me, that is the... That is the celebrity hump. Once you get in five digits, you are just, you're there, you've made it. So
this is what I've learned from the Twitter follow count, Griffin.
What's that?
Justin is everybody's favorite because he has the most. And then you are the second favorite.
Yeah.
Because you have the second most. And then the show itself is everyone's third favorite.
Yeah.
And coming up last, it's me. So there are 2,000 people that like the show, but not me.
Well,
not big on Travis.
Not big Travis fans.
To be fair, your tweets are... I'd say they leave a little bit to be decided. Let's read.
Tweets are delightful.
Let's go through the list. Let's see. I ate a big ham this morning.
And I've never said that.
Okay.
Watching Avatar The Last Airbender again.
I just can't get enough mayonnaise.
I detest mayonnaise, sir.
Thank you to people who have downloaded the show, subscribed on iTunes, and reviewed it. That really means a lot and helps to boost us up there. So if you're looking for a way to say thank you, that would be a great way to do it.
Say it with roses.
Travis, how many Gina Davis retweets have you done in the past month?
All of them.
Following Travis is like following Gina Davis twice.
Well, that's because, like, if you ever see Gina Davis, I'm right behind her.
Mm-hmm. You retweet her tweet, and then you tweet at her, good one, Gina.
You did it again, Gene.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It was John Roderick's birthday last week. Happy belated birthday, John Roderick. I only know that because people talked about it on Twitter. I'm not, like, a stalker or anything like that, but... Oh, God, I just want to smell his hair.
Oh, cool. Yeah. We got t-shirts and stuff, MaxFunStore.com, if you want that. And there's other shows on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find them all at MaximumFun.org. They're all great.
And we haven't mentioned in a while, but we got a couple people asking this week. If you are interested in doing a Jumbotron or you have a personal message or a business message or anything like that, just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, and all the information is there.
Oh, before I forget, we've had a lot of people asking about this, too. If you'd like the first 30 or so episodes of the show that are not on the Maximum Fun Network, you can find all those at mbmbam.libsyn.com. I just click through the archives there, and on the right side, you can see all the years we've been doing the show. The first one is in April of 2010. You can see the hit art that I made for it before Justin Russo did it, and it's just a picture of the three of us on Mars near an ocean, and we all have mustaches, and it's not very good art, but it has a special place in my heart. But
anyway. That was back when we were using a theme song from, let's call them a very litigious Swedish pop group.
Yeah, so you can go back to all the old episodes there and are there for your enjoyment.
Thanks for the years.
Thanks for being with us and enjoying us. This is episode 120. We're going to be back next week with 121.
That seems like a lot. That seems like a pretty big...
Seems like we're coming to the end.
At what point... Yeah, when do we get to stop?
Never. It is my pledge to the listeners of this podcast that we will never stop doing it until one of us dies. How's that?
That seems...
Mm-hmm. And then there will be a very touching slideshow.
Or until we stop making money off of it, because...
Yeah. Until we stop making money off it, that's really going to be...
As soon as that sweet money well dries up...
Mm-hmm.
We're going to dip.
I think that there's always going to be a market, though, for people to pay us to make fun of George Lopez for them.
Take care of my like work, my brother, and me.
So you don't have to.
So anyway, in closing, Griffin's going to ask us one more question.
This final Yahoo was sent in by Gray. Thanks, Gray. It's by Yahoo Answers user Monolithic Vulgarity, who asks, does anyone have a recording of a duck having an orgasm?
I am Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I am Ernie Hudson.
This has been My Brother, and me. Kiss your dad. Scream on the lips.
Keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. 3 stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part.